Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. From the Gospel according to Mark. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And every time I'm around my family from back in Cleveland, who are originally all from West Virginia, I am struck by how different I am than them. And I think about how leaving them many years ago continually always brings a sort of sadness and loss from having moved so far away from them and not being able to see them when I need to. But I also know that couldn't be who I am if I had not moved away. They love me, but they think I'm strange. I didn't really expect that to get a laugh. Oh, poor Michael. No one really knows just how strange, right, Michael? But they always wonder about me. Like, how did she end up so different than the rest of us? But it really was the journey when I moved to California and spent all those years and then came here and have just become a very different person than my cultural upbringing would have probably been like if I had stayed. I think about when I enter Lent each year and I think about Jesus' journey, about some of those same things. This first Sunday in Lent always begins with Jesus being led into the desert, into the wilderness. 40 days and 40 nights without food or water, a journey that is to prepare him for the rest of his life for what is going to come next. It's this time of spiritual struggle where he listens for the voice of God. He goes into the wilderness and he has to experience a profound aloneness. The kind of aloneness that most of us would never really even consider doing. We would have to be open to the danger of not only being alone without material things, but alone with our own thoughts, with this complete emptying out so that the Spirit of God might speak to us. I think culturally it seems almost impossible to think about that kind of aloneness now, doesn't it? I mean, really, the scriptures give us this image that this wasn't entirely a choice of Jesus. But I wonder, it says that the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. That to me sounds like something that is forceful and powerful. It seems to me that we are uncomfortable sometimes with this image. I know that I am, because it is this sort of preordained, predestined shove into the wilderness role that he was to take on. No choice, something that was already to happen, and that the Spirit of God drove him, shoved him, and pushed him into the desert. But what I believe from having studied the scriptures all these years and what we can glom from the scriptures is that all along the way, Jesus made choices. He may have felt compelled to begin his spiritual journey in the desert, but it was, as it always is, an invitation, because God's call is always an invitation. Not only to go someplace new, but to walk away from where we are. From walking away from the life that we're currently leading. Jesus didn't just walk towards his ministry. He walked away from his whole life. He walked away from his family and his friends. He walked away from a daily routine, from the work. He walked away from the certainty of shelter and food. He walked away from everything he knew. And the scriptures definitely paint a picture that his family did not understand. They thought he was a little strange too. Mother and brothers and sisters standing outside a house while he's teaching, trying to get him to come home and saying that he is beside himself. He walked away from all he knew to make room for the call that had urged him on. Walking away from the familiar, the complete unknown. How frightening does that sound? To walk into a place where you truly do not know what the next step will bring. The walk into the wilderness signaled for Jesus the end of his former life. He dies not only to sin, but to all the assumptions, to all the worldviews, to all the entanglements and obligations of his former life as a citizen of Galilee. He walks away from being the son of Mary and Joseph. He also walks away from the Jerusalem authorities, from Herod and from Caesar. And his walking away is a spiritual act, a religious act. It is also a political and economic assertion that God will be first in his life and foremost always. And so here we are all this time, long, long, long from those days, asking the question, what does this mean for my life? If I want to be made in the image of Christ, if I want to follow Jesus, what do I have to do? Do I have to give up everything? Must I walk away from my former life? From my family, my friends, my home, my favorite foods, the TV, my cell phone? Must I live like the Abbas and the Abbots of old? I surely hope not. I don't think it's going to happen in my lifetime. But what is true that is essential to all human pilgrimage to the Christian journey is a self-emptying, more or less life, like Christ's life of emptying. Our emptying is to try to imitate the way in which he walked. From the womb to the tomb, we have to continually walk away from that which holds us. We have to let go. To die a little to the life that we lead. And to let go is always to die a little. It can be painful to let go, even to let go of that which we know is not holy, that that doesn't serve us and certainly does not serve God's holy creation. And so sometimes we hold on. We clutch our yesterdays like Linus clutched his blanket and refuse to grow spiritually. Yet Jesus said, follow me. Follow me is risky business. Because letting go of yesterday certainly means that we are on quicksand. We do not know where it will lead us. It means giving up something harder than chocolate and half and half. Or whatever wonderful little thing you love in your life every day. It means seeing yourself as you really are. Self-emptying means also self-reflection. We are creatures fearfully and wonderfully made, but we are a bundle of paradoxes and contradictions. You are a person who believes and doubts, who feels hope and despair, who loves and hates. We are all exciting and we are all boring. We are enchanted and we are disillusioned. We are trusting and we are suspicious. We are selfless and we are selfish. Complex, paradoxical creatures who want to follow Christ and live a spiritual life. And Lent is that time where we really grasp and grapple with that, isn't it? That intentional time. As winter comes to an end and spring is ahead, dying to this life. But we have a difficult time walking away from those things that keep us from God. Here are some words of comfort. When we walk away, when you let go of those things that keep you from God, it is for a purpose. Emptying, dying is not its own end. We let go of yesterday because only by letting go, only by reaching out into the unknown, that shadowed future, can we grow into Christ. Can we grow in loving communion with God, with the breathtaking beauty of God's creation. Only by walking away from those things that hold you can you walk toward a full life. Not by forgetting yesterdays. They are part of who we are. Jesus could not have walked away from everything. The scriptures tell us that he stayed close to the people he loved the most, even to the cross. He did not walk away from everything. He kept the memory and the love as he walked through the desert and on to the cross. When we decide to follow Christ, we die a little to live more richly. We have to learn, and I am preaching to myself right now, brothers and sisters, to let yesterday be yesterday. The joys and the sorrows, so that today we can listen to the Lord's voice. So that we can go out on that little acre of God's world where there are hurting men and women and children who need so badly a Christian who has died to sin and self and who now lives for God and others. Jesus walked away not knowing where it would lead. If he already knew, if it was preordained, then it's not my story. It's not your story. The human Jesus walked away from what he knew to an unknown life dedicated to God. He walked away from Nazareth and his mother and the hill where he was transformed and the Garden of Gethsemane and the people he had healed and that unpredictable band of friends who never quite got him. He walked away from the very miracle of being alive. And the comfort and miracle for us is what we walk in. We walk in his tracks. Our Lenten journey is personal and it is corporate. We do it alone and we do not do it alone. We do it with the fellowship with the body of Christ and with the Holy Spirit. So during our Lenten time in these 40 days, we ask ourselves, what do I need to walk away from in order to make room for something new? For brothers and sisters, God can make all things new. God can bring life out of death. If we are willing to open our hands and let go of that which holds us in the past. God has great surprises waiting for each of us if we are willing to risk what lies ahead. Or as the great theologian Jackson Brown said, don't let the uncertainty turn you around. Go and make a joyful sound. Amen.
Gather in worship and prepare to go out into the world. I invite you to listen in a spirit of prayer. Bend the knee, bow the heart, let dust and ashes leave their mark, the sign of cross and grave and tomb. The earth we come from stakes its claim. We sing, we pray, and we confess. We speak truth in the face of self-delusion. We sing mercy, Lord, have mercy. We bend the knee, we turn around, and face to face we see each other, also marked by life in death, also claimed by cross and flame, also humbled, also loved, also seeking, also forgiven, and we remember, we remember. We remember whose we are and where we shall return. And in the midst of grieving, we give thanks. Amen.